KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Acting U.S. Secretary of Commerce Rebecca Blank today declared a commercial fishery failure on Alaska's Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers and in the Cook Inlet due to low king salmon returns during the 2012 fishing season and previous years. The disaster declaration makes it possible for Congress to appropriate money toward alleviating the financial hardship to fishermen caused by the fishery disaster. If money is appropriated, NOAA will work closely with Congress and the state of Alaska to develop plans to assist coastal communities. In July, Alaska Governor Sean Parnell and the Alaska Federation of Natives requested the disaster determination for the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers. The governor added Cook Inlet to the request last month. And the Kayana man missing after the death of his 74-year-old mother is featured in an award-winning film. Alaska State Troopers say there has been no sign of 45-year-old Teddy Kyle Smith since he vanished from his home in Kayana on Friday night. Smith is known for his role as a protective Inupiaq father in the award-winning film On the Ice. Troopers say Kayana's village public safety officer reported Friday that Smith had fired a gun, sending at least four people running for cover. He has been charged with four counts of assault. He is not accused in the death of his mother. The National Marine Fisheries Service has not followed through on its findings that two species of seals should be listed under the Endangered Species Act. APRN's Dave Donaldson reports the Center for Biological Diversity yesterday asked the federal courts to order a specific date by which bearded and ringed seals be listed. In documents filed with courts yesterday morning, the center says, quote, "This mandatory deadline is necessary to ensure the continued survival of ringed and bearded seals in the wild." The center originally petitioned the listing in 2008. After several delays, the Marine Fisheries Service published its own findings that agreed with the petition and proposed the listing. Rebecca Noblin, the Alaska director for the center, says that publication in December of 2010 set a one-year deadline for completion of the listing.
In December of 2011, they issued a public notice saying they were going to take six more months to consider, to just sort of, you know, make sure their science was right and have more peer review. And so that would have put them out to June of 2012. And since then, we haven't heard any word for why the delay is.
The court papers say that the lack of the endangered listing will result in irreparable harm to both species.
You know, climate change is really, really altering the Arctic quickly. As we've seen, this is the lowest sea ice year ever since we've been recording sea ice. And sea ice is absolutely essential for these seals. So it's certainly... the time to act is now, and NIMS has said that it's planning to act, and under the Endangered Species Act, it's required to go ahead and finalize the listing decision so that we can start getting some protections in place.
Julie Spiegel with the National Marine Fisheries Service says work on the listing is ongoing, but she is not allowed to comment on litigation. Research was released last week by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology that maps how toxic chemicals travel to and affect the Arctic. Noelle Celine is an assistant professor of atmospheric chemistry and engineering systems and is the lead researcher for this project. Celine's research has found there are additional chemicals affecting the Arctic that are not a part of the Treaty of the Stockholm Convention. According to the EPA, the international meeting discussed policies to reduce and or eliminate certain chemical production to protect the environment, the Arctic in particular. Celine says their computer system is one of the first models that can predict the day-to-day spread of these chemicals at particular sites, seeing how factors such as wind can affect levels.
So what we're doing is we're using global modeling, so a big model of the Earth, to actually compute how these chemicals travel in the environment and really try to understand where they're coming from, where they're going, and how they behave in the environment.
According to Celine, these chemicals are called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. She says toxins that come from burning, such as vehicles, wildfires, and oil and gas activities.
There are chemicals that are long-lived in the environment. They tend to bioaccumulate up the food chain, so they pose toxic risks to people who consume food, and those are particularly a problem in the Arctic.
Whales and seals have already been found to contain such pollutants, which can place those who eat these animals at risk. Celine hopes that the computer model will help with future prediction of climate change, such as increases in wildfires and effects of oil production in the Arctic. She says it is important for everyone to be aware that persistent organic pollutants are a global problem and to think about regulations that should be in place. And there will be a few races in the upcoming October 2nd municipal election. There are three candidates each for the two seats up for election on the Nome Common Council. For Council Seat C, incumbent Randy Pomeranz faces challengers Randy Oles and Kenny Hughes. For Council Seat D, Nikolai Ivanov and Jim West Jr. challenge incumbent Stan Anderson. On to the school board. Monica Rose runs for school board seat C against incumbent Betsy Brennan. Paula Davis runs unopposed. For the NSCDC Nome representative, current board member Don Stiles faces challenger Louis Green Jr. And for the utility board, Fred Moody and Dave Barron both go unopposed. The Nome municipal election will take place October 2nd. And by now, you've either seen or heard of the groups of muskox that have been lingering around the outskirts of Nome, near homes, and at the airport. According to Tony Gorn of the Department of Fish and Game, wildlife encroaching on the local community is part of living in the area, but should be taken seriously. The Fish and Game Department has worked to move the animals away from community areas using water hoses, rubber bullets, and even clapping and making noise.
We've tried a series of different things to permanently remove the animals, but the fact of the matter is that our local habitat is just too good. If you're a muskox, this is where you want to be in the summertime.
Gorn says muskox tend to be very patient with people, but that doesn't mean you should approach them. PSAs have been distributed to the media with tips on how to stay safe.
Don't be getting close enough to where you're throwing things at wild animals. Just use common sense. Try not to surprise the animals, similar to a brown bear, similar to a moose. Just give muskox groups a wide berth.
Pets are also in danger of getting too close to muskox, which are easily surprised by loose dogs or other animals. Gorn has some recommendations for pet owners.
Put kennels around their dogs. If people are going to run their dogs out on trails or roads and they're not leashed, to try to keep them close to their truck.
Whether considered a nuisance or an experience of nature, Gorn says muskox will probably be staying around town until the first snowfall around the end of October. For more information, please visit the Department of Fish and Game for a free book detailing how to live in muskox country. The price of gold in New York is up $18.80 an ounce to $1,751.20. An ounce of silver is at $33.95, up 54 cents from yesterday. A pound of zinc at 91 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 arrived in Nome at 8:59 and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:49. Unofficially 33 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.